Okay, John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ."
I just want to talk to you for a few moments about one verse in the Bible that Claire read to us. But to get to that verse, I want to do something a little bit unusual. I want to show you a picture. So we can bring up the first picture, Owen. Does anybody recognise those two fellas there? Yes, yeah, certain people of a certain age might recognise those two fellas. It's giant haystacks on the right and Big Daddy on the left. Shirley, indeed. Shirley Crabtree. Big Daddy, I think, is I remember him. Is that not? It was the same guys. Yeah. So when I was growing up, that's what I used to watch on a Saturday morning, the wrestling. And I was living in Newcastle at the time, I think. Was it a It wasn't a Newcastle thing, was it? Was it? Oh, that's fantastic. It's even better. We aye, man. So these, on a Sunday afternoon, I was ganning down the shops. Sorry, just get back to saying. These two guys, and others as well, used to wrestle on the TV, and I absolutely believed it. I thought it was absolutely real, and then I grew up, and I realised that it was all just pretend. And it was hilarious, wasn't it? I mean, now, looking back as an adult at those things, you probably think, how did I ever believe it? It was so staged. But it was a wrestling thing, and you don't have that anymore. Those two are not around, so they've got WWE, is it? They changed it. It was WWF, wasn't it? And then the World Wildlife Fund, I guess, got a bit upset about that. And so it became World Wrestling something. What? Entertainment, is that right? Right. I thought we'd have a wrestling match this morning. Oh, this is going to be good. Let's have the next slide up, shall we? I thought we'd have a wrestling match between Jesus and Santa. How do you fancy that for a wrestling match? Now, when I say a wrestling match, of course, I'm not really talking about a wrestling match, because you probably think this is going to be a bit unfair, because Santa is, well, he's large, isn't he? He's a man of large frame, and a bit like myself, really. And Jesus, usually in the pictures that are painted of him, he's a little bit sort of thin, so it wouldn't be a very fair wrestling match, because it wouldn't be the same sort of banding, the same grouping. But I'm not going to do a wrestling match like that. This is a wrestling match to do with what these two people offer. Okay, that's what I want to think about this morning. And particularly, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about something that I think is wonderful. And this is really, it's on the back of a conversation that, again, Josh and I had a bit about the difference between Jesus and Santa. And so let's see where we go with this, shall we? I came across a website a couple of years ago, actually, of it was sort of titled Santa the Interloper, and it was about how Santa was trying to take Jesus' job. And it had this long list of reasons why Santa was trying to be like Jesus. And here they are, the first 13 out of 99, I think it was. He has white hair like wool, according to Revelation 1:14. That's Jesus. And of course, our traditional Santa has white hair. He has a beard, according to Isaiah 50. This is Jesus. And Santa has a beard. He comes in red apparel, according to Isaiah 63. That's Jesus. The hour of his coming is a mystery, Luke 12. And the hour of his coming is a mystery for Santa. He comes from the north where he lives. That's Ezekiel 1. So again, we're sort of getting to some Bible verses that are a bit unusual. You don't sort of think about so often. Jesus comes from the north. That's Ezekiel 1 and Psalm 48. Where does Santa reputedly live? Parents are getting nervous at this point. Don't worry, I'm not going to do anything too drastic here. Well, apparently he comes from the north. Ho, 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 I think he lives. Isn't that where he lives? I didn't know that. That's great. Jesus is a carpenter. Apparently Santa makes wooden toys. He comes as a thief in the night, according to the Gospels. That's Jesus. Santa. Some similarities there, aren't there? You get the point. I won't go on and on. But this sort of, it's a well-meaning website, but I think it's probably a bit tongue-in-cheek. What I really want to know, though, is what is it that Santa's offering? What is the story of Santa offering, and what is Jesus offering? What does Jesus bring? Well, let's start with the naughty and nice list. We've got to start there, haven't we? So the naughty and nice list works a bit like this, as I understand it. It is a list of the children all over the world, of all the things that they've done through that year. And then it's a bit like scales. So if you've done lots of naughty things during the year, the scales go down that way. And if you've done lots of good things, then they come up that way. And then Santa works out in this story whether you've done more bad things or more good things. And then what happens if you've been good? You get presents. Did you get presents this morning, Hamish? You're obviously a very good boy. Is that true? Yeah, very good. Now, if you'd have been a naughty boy like some of my children, we practice grace in our house. So they get presents too. But that's the Santa thing. It's the naughty and nice list. And he's weighing up whether you're good or you're bad. I think there's a song about it. We don't generally sing it in church. But there's a song about it, whether you're on the naughty or the nice list. And if you've been naughty, you don't get. If you've been good, you do get. And it's all a balancing act to see what your life has been like. So do you think this year, generally, don't put your hands up for this, you've been good or bad? Now, I reckon probably some of you children would think to yourselves, well, there's certain things that I've been doing this year that haven't been great, and other things that I've done that have been fine. And if I look around the adults today, I reckon I'd get quite a different response to that, I would guess. Probably, wouldn't you think? You'd think back over the year and you think, yeah, there's some things that I've done that have been good, but there's been plenty that I've done that's not been good this year. So if it was on a sort of a scales, and I'm trying to weigh up whether I'm deserving of gifts or not, not quite sure how that's going to work, really. My experience is that lots of people think that that's how God assesses us. He sort of weighs us up. It's the good things we've done or the bad things we've done. So God's looking down from heaven and he's looking at us and he's seeing, how many times did these people go to church this year? Oh, that's okay. So it was 47 times they went. That's good. And how much money did they give to charity? Oh, that's quite good or that's quite bad. And how kind were they to the people around them? Oh, that's good, that's bad. And lots of people think that's how God works. He weighs up the good and the bad in the scales, and then he tells us whether he likes us or whether he doesn't. Now, to be fair, there are reasons in the Bible to think that might be the case. In the first half of the Bible, the Old Testament, there was a man called Moses. Moses was given the law by God, which was God's standard for his people. And he'd rescued them, he brought them out of slavery in Egypt, and he brought them to himself at Mount Sinai, and he gave Moses this law and explained to them what living for him would look like. And that's a fairly scary thing, actually, because as you read through the law from Moses, you find that there are lots and lots of things that we break and do that we shouldn't do that actually God said would bring death. And that's a really serious thing. You suddenly think, well, there's lots of things I've done wrong that according to the law of the Old Testament, I deserve death for. That's pretty serious. But part of the reason that God gave us the law in the Old Testament was to show us that we needed something more than law. We needed a rescuer, somebody to save us from all the bad things that we've done. In the New Testament, we come across this wonderful mystery that's opened up, which is, how is God going to rescue people who've done bad things? And that's what we're celebrating. That's what Christmas is, the sending of the Lord Jesus. So Santa brings his naughty and nice list, which really, honestly, scares me. That really scares me, the thought of a naughty and nice list. But then what does Jesus bring? Well, this is the verse that Claire read to us, John 1:17. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus offers us grace. Now, shall I tell you what grace is? Grace isn't style and poise. Often people talk about somebody's got grace and they just mean they move nicely or they talk nicely. Grace in the Bible means gift. That's what the word is. The word means the giving of something that is not deserved. It is the gift. That's what grace, the word, means. So the law comes from Moses in the Old Testament. It tells us that we fail, and it tells us that we need a saviour, and Jesus comes, and he brings us grace. Isn't that wonderful? So we fail, all of us, and yet the Lord Jesus comes to bring grace. All of the law of the Old Testament couldn't bring that. Only the Lord Jesus could bring that. So this Christmas, if you think to yourself, I'm not really good enough for God. Actually, there's lots of things that I've done wrong, lots of things that are not right in my life, so I'm not really good enough for God. You're actually okay, because you're in good company, because you join the rest of us here this morning. And we celebrate today, on Christmas Day, not a naughty and nice list, but we celebrate grace. We celebrate Jesus coming to give us what we don't deserve. Forgiveness, joy, a future home in heaven, fellowship with other people, and part of his family. That's grace. He gives that as a gift. And Christmas is the reminder of that great giving of that gift. We're celebrating the fact that God the Father in heaven knew the situation we were in and didn't write us off, but sent his Son to bring grace. That's a reason to sing, isn't it? I think a great reason to sing.